watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, with me, Sharad Kutan. Yesterday, the Education Ministry announced the reopening of public schools for exam year students only, starting from the 24th of June. Joining us on the show now to discuss this further is Chan Sun Sing, CEO for Teach for Malaysia, which is an NGO focused on education inequity. Sun Sing, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. I want to begin the conversation by perhaps getting your thoughts on the rationale for this staggered approach to opening schools. The ministry is choosing to have cohorts facing exams return to school first rather than the younger students. So how are you making sense of this approach?
Yeah, hi, Melissa and Sharad. Thanks for having me on the show. I think it's quite indicative of what education has meant for Malaysia for a very long time. And I think that one of the things, and actually the ministry is trying to shift away from this, but one of the things that has been a big focus of education in Malaysia is a focus on the exam orientation, and that sort of our exam results are kind of like the be-all and end-all of education. And I think that there's some practical reasons for that, right? So when we think about where these students are going to go post secondary school, the system is set up to operate based on exam results, right? And so I think the ministry has chosen to focus on ensuring that kids who are sitting for exams this year go back to school first. But I think what we've seen in other examples in other countries in the world is that kids of a younger age actually go back to school first, because older age kids are actually more able to self-study or study independently from home, and younger age kids need the in-person support more. And we also see that at the primary level, those are absolutely crucial foundational years that can't be avoided. But in our case, I think the ministry has made this decision because it will have knock-off effects if the SPM and examination upper 6 years don't go back first and aren't able to effectively sit for examination.
Well, there was a comment in the news today by the NUTP, the National Union of Teaching Profession. They're recommending that the earliest for primary school students, primary schools to reopen nationwide should be in late September or October. That's more than 3 months away. Well, what are you thinking about this?
Yeah, so Teach for Malaysia is focused on ensuring that, like you said earlier, that we close the inequity gap. And that's basically the idea that some kids have less access to education than others. And we actually think that the physical school is actually a huge equalizer for education in Malaysia. And so during the MCO period, there have been so many children that have not had access to education during this period of time. The ministry's survey estimates about 37% of households don't have devices for students. And in a recent study that came out that studied the effects of the 2005 earthquake in Pakistan, where schools were closed for 14 weeks. So 14 weeks will be the number of weeks that our schools would have been closed, well, not closed, but learning from home once our Form 5 students go back. And in this study, they found that the closure of 14 weeks resulted in a learning gap of 2 to 3 years for the kids that were most affected by the school closures. So we think that it's actually crucial that kids get back to school as soon as possible because there are so many kids that do not have access. Obviously, that needs to take into account public health and safety measures. But I think with the situation in Malaysia, I think as long as we do that in a controlled fashion and we are very effective in the ways that we test, track, and trace, that we can actually get back to school faster than that timeline.
Right. Something, you know, Ed, struck me odd to, you know, when you say, when you came up with the expectation that this is a reversal or a gap of 2-3 years, that this would be the knock-on effect. Because I'm thinking of, you know, of school systems in other countries where kids go off for, say, summer break and they take 3 months off and you know, long periods of time. Why is it, you know, explain to a non-expert like myself, why is it that going out of school for 3 months under these extraordinary circumstances would lead to such a devastating impact on learning?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that when we think about things like a 2 to 3 month summer holiday, or we think about things like a gap year where a student takes that time off, those are scheduled times off. Mm-hmm. And those are intentionally there. And so what we're seeing is an additional interruption to the standard learning, time. And so what then happens is that if you do that in comparison to a kid that has whose learning isn't interrupted, then you see the disparity. So what we're potentially going to see is that there are students who have not had any access to learning because maybe they don't have connectivity, maybe they don't have a device, but there are some kids who are learning at this point in time, who are able to connect, who are able to get in touch with their teachers. Right. So those students will be progressing at a certain rate, whereas the students who don't have access to learning during the MCO period would be left behind, so to say.
But sometimes, Sunseng, those two kids are in the same class. How are schools going to help, when the time comes, how will schools ensure students return and help learners who have fallen behind during school closures, especially if they're not quite up to speed with, say, their classmates and their peers?
Yeah, great question. I think that's why it was a great decision by the Ministry of Education to cancel PT3 and UPSR this year. And so I think that when we take away, because these are very high-stake examinations, and the ministry already has existing alternative assessment forms, which can be used to assess the learning of children. And so what that allows teachers to be able to do is to address the specific learning needs of their students. And so a challenge that you typically see in schools is that teachers are rushing to complete the syllabus because they need to complete all of the content in order for students to be able to get tested on all of that content. Now, when the teachers have flexibility because the students aren't sitting for those high-stakes examinations, teachers are able to then select the content that is absolutely crucial, the most crucial content, and then use the classroom-based assessment to be able to assess their students' progress on that. So in this case, we can give teachers the flexibility to actually differentiate according to the different needs that their students will have, or the disparities or the gaps that their students will have. Now, one thing that will be absolutely crucial at this point in time, a misconception is that schools are closed. They're not closed. Schools are in operation, and teachers are meant to be teaching their students during this time, right? Students are just supposed to be learning from home. So even with the return of the Form 5 and the upper 6 students, the guidelines that the Ministry of Education put out has actually guidelines about provisions for students who aren't coming back to school yet. So it talks about continuing home-based learning, whether that's through online methods or through other methods, such as sending materials to students. There are even suggestions about how schools can have drop boxes where kids can pick up work and send work back for teachers to be able to give them feedback on it. And so it's going to be absolutely critical for schools at this point in time to also ensure that they're not ignoring the kids that aren't coming back to school yet. And we should consider education in full swing even for those who aren't. And actually, with the reopening of school, that should allow more logistical ability for schools to get materials into students' hands.
Right. So I wonder if this moment, the last 3 months, has been an opportunity for conversations that weren't happening before based on some of the structural problems in our education system. We know that kids go to school for 12 years, but the actual learning is much less than that. And that's obviously a defect in in the delivery of education. Are you hearing conversations about reform within the education system that could happen?
Yeah, absolutely. And so referencing what I said earlier about the cancellation of UPSR and PT3 for this year, that is a potential silver lining of what we could see happen for education. And even when we look into the Ministry of Education's guidelines, there is a shift away. So for those that grew up in the Malaysian education system, the traditional experience is that there's a lot of chalk and talk, which is a teacher standing at the front of the classroom. They're telling you information, you're writing down notes, and you're supposed to memorize the quote-unquote right answers. Mm-hmm. And the Ministry of Education for the longest time has tried to shift away to a more student-centered learning approach where they're focusing on 21st century skills like collaboration, creativity, critical thinking, and communication. And what the challenge has been is that because we are so focused on examinations, that distracts a teacher from being able to pursue different methods of learning delivery. And so actually with the shift away, at least this year, from UPSR and PP3, that will give teachers an opportunity to actually experiment more with different ways of learning, if they're not just trying to rush to teach kids how to sit for an examination. So in the ministry's guidelines, you'll see things like project-based learning comes as a recommendation for teachers to be exploring during this point in time. And that's a great way to shift learning so that it's something that is a lot more relevant to the time and just a lot more engaging for students as well. And so I think that there is an opportunity here to reimagine what learning could look like in our schools.
That's very encouraging to hear, Sinseng. Thank you so much for speaking with us. We really appreciate your time and for you sharing those insights with us tonight. We're going to discuss more on the plan to reopen schools in just a few minutes. So stay tuned to Consider This.